I suppose so. I mean, listen, there's been 6, 7, 8 abortive approaches from various people, and it's not something you share with anyone until you know it's real, you know. And obviously these chats have been going on with Francesco for 6, 7 weeks. But until you have a deal, there's no point in rocking anybody's boat. I mean, at the end of the day, I think most fans understand I'm only going to do what's right for the club, and the vast majority have supported me in my custodianship on that basis.
How did it come that you met Francesco? Did you put a sign on a shop window that the club for sale?
I think most people, I've always been consistent over the last 5 or 6 years and said, look, the day that someone comes along who really is capable of taking this to the next level, I'm out. Because I wouldn't hold the club back. And so it's general knowledge that Lake Norient is available to the right person, just that I haven't found the right person before. So eventually, via intermediaries, as always in this, you know, football agents or whatever, or consultants from around the world, say, we have, you know, Francesco has an interest, would you like to have some dialogue with him? Which we did, and obviously today is the result of 6, 7 weeks of, you know, pretty interesting negotiations. But I think there's always been a synergy between us on the passion side, and I generally believe he wants the best for the club, and he has the resources to do what other people can't do. I think we're a very, very lucky club, and for once, I got it right.
Well, I was just going to say, you've always trusted your own judgment. What did you like about the fella?
I liked his eyes. I liked the sparkle. I saw someone who's about as mad as me, but with a lot more money. Yeah, I liked his body language. I mean, I checked him out. Obviously, he had to go through the Football League due diligence and all that sort of stuff. You know, he's a hugely wealthy Italian businessman. But most impressed me was the fact that he was moving his family to London. I wasn't really interested in being someone's little toy from afar. He's a hands-on type of operator, as you've probably gathered today. Same as me. I mean, that's the way we are, and that comes with pluses and minuses. You know, he's got an ego probably as big as mine, if not bigger, and that's huge. So therefore he doesn't want to, nor can he afford to fail. So all these things tick boxes, and the fact that he was prepared to make the commitment in terms of the size of the squad, the budget that's going to be inside the squad, the fact that the money for that for the next 12 months went in the bank instantly, so that he showed that he's real, all these things helped. And but generally what it came down to in the end is I like the geezer. I like the look of him. I like what he was sounding like. And I think he's going to be a bit crazy. I think he's Italian. He's very emotional. But I felt a synergy with him. You know, I looked like, it was like Barry Earn 20 years ago, but with more money.
Are you not sort of suspicious of all this foreign money coming in at this level in British football? We've had a number of championship clubs bought out by foreign players.
I've been saying for years that these people that buy football clubs are crazy. They don't buy the right clubs. You see, I think the sensible approach is to look in Division 1 or Division 2, is to show people that you're a long-term player, you don't want a quick fix. It's not drugs, it's not a quick badge of a needle. You show them you're a long-term player. Also, from a business point of view, buying clubs with no debt. We've always been run a proper business here, so we don't owe in any of my companies, none of my companies are allowed any borrowing at all. That's how I think business should be run. And eventually, those old-fashioned values come back. And people say, now, so I'm putting in my own money to live my own dream, but I'm not starting off paying off the mistakes of others. And I think all these teams that, you know, that have borrowed money and gone bust is disgraceful, totally disgraceful. They shouldn't be allowed to be directors of a football club. So I think, actually, the really clever bloke, and I think he's one of them, identifies potential. And potential is mostly money. You know, with money you can do anything. You know, Manchester City are a very successful football club. Nothing to do with the billions of pounds that have been invested, is it? You know, so you need a reason for being somewhere. The fact that he's coming to London and moving his family, obviously he wanted a London-based football club. He's a sensible businessman, so he didn't want debt. And I think he got value for money. See, value for money in football doesn't really exist anymore, does it? You know, shall we pay him 100 grand a week or 200 grand? I mean, this is like beyond my conception of the normal working man. And similarly, when you acquire clubs, you know, we've had clubs being bought by foreigners, and the first thing they do is go to the banks and borrow all the money back. Well, that's not proper business. That's robbing business. You know, that's not showing a long-term commitment. So at this level, if you get it right, I think this is the feeding ground for futures of people that will be genuinely good owners as well.
the word legacy has been brandished around this area for the last couple of years for reasons good or bad. What would you hope to be that people will look at Barry Hearn's legacy for Leighton Orient?
Well, I mean, it's difficult to say because I can't think I've actually smashed it up, have I? I mean, I've given them 20 years of stability. You know, I took over a ground with four derelict stands, and now we've got three brand new ones. I took over a club with a load of debt. Now we've got, you know, serious money in the bank and no debt. So I think it's like thanks for taking us through to troubled waters, but probably criticism for not, from a fan's perspective, of not compounding the ultimate felony of endangering your own personal wealth by getting over involved in a football club which is by its nature going to be expensive and enough, as we've seen, enough to see off lots of people. You know, I'm from the East End of London. I made my money. I made it the hard way, and no one's getting it off me. So I am not going to do something stupid with my money because my family, as same as Francisco says. But it's all about levels, isn't it? You know, I'm only a multimillionaire. These days, that's really nothing in football. He's a billionaire. It reminds me of that Monty Python sketch, I think, or Not the 9 o'clock News, when it had the tall bloke, the medium-sized bloke. You know, I'm upper class. I look down on him, he's middle class, and I look down on him, he's working class. That was the old cartoon sketch, wasn't it? Football is a bit like that, you know. You know, I'm in the conference, I'm only a millionaire, but I look up to him because he's a multi-millionaire and he's in Division 1 or maybe the Championship, but we look after him because he's a billionaire and he's in the Premiership or the Champions League. You know, and you've got that structure in football. So I find it quite amusing because basically all I'm doing is watching the football club I started watching when I was 11. And you know what? I'm going to be doing exactly the same thing for the rest of my life. So the fact that the custodianship, and I really believe that, it's a really key word. We talk about equity ownership. In a football sense, it means nothing at all. It just means you're responsible. Being responsible is part of your custodianship. And now I pass the baton to Francesco, and I'm very comfortable with the changeover.
Were events of what happened in May up at Wembley, did that play any facts?
No, not at all. We'd had the deal done personally before then anyway. And whether we'd have gone up or stayed where we were wouldn't have made any difference to my decision, because my decision was to sell to a man that could take the club further forward. So whichever division we was going to be in, there's no question that Francesco is going to take the club further forward than me.
How did Russell take this turn of events?
Yeah, I think, like everything else, it's, people get used to the way we work at Matchroom and the way we are as people. You know, it's quite casual. It's first names. It's like friendly. You know, it's aggressive sometimes in business if you have to be. But and Russell, of course, when I say he's been spoiled, he's been spoiled in a nice way. You know, he's been given total responsibility. And that's how it works. You know, this is your budget, Russ. You can do what you like with it. It's nothing to do with me, because you'll be judged on results. And I think that's a little bit scary, that suddenly new people are coming in with new ideas, a lot more money, and a lot more responsibility for Russell. But I think when the first bit of panic, you know, disappears, the first panic is, you know, am I going to lose my job? You know, this guy's not an idiot. You know, Russell's a great manager, so he's going to be here. But it's interesting to hear him say, you've got to sign the bit of paper at the bottom, because it's responsibility. So Russell's got to take that responsibility, use it wisely, and do the business, because he'll be judged on what he spends and the return he gets in terms of, are we in the Championship next season?
Are we talking at all about Barry Hearn starting to take a back seat in some of the other parts of his portfolio? Because Eddie has got the boxing now.
I think I've been very sensible. You know, it's been my whole life, but, you know, my father died at 44. His father died at 43. So, I'm 66. I'm in front of the game. But I've built an amazing business over the last 30 or 40 years. And I've built some amazing people. The youngsters that have come in and actually risen to the challenge, like Matt Poulter. And Matt Poulter started here as a press officer. You know, he's now main board director of Matchroom Sport and the chief executive of the PDC. Steve Dawson looks after those stuff. You know, I've got departments of people, young people, that report to me. And my role now is, as Eddie says, I'm more structural, which I don't know what that means, actually. But I sort of float around. I know an awful lot of people. So I'm travelling, I'm having fun, I'm taking my golf clubs with me, all my fishing rods with me, I'm doing deals. I work just the same number of hours, but I have different projects, you know. I mean, Leighton Orient was never a massive time consumer for me because I had a good team of boys here that took responsibility. I had to make the ultimate decisions, and I'm very happy to pass that up because there's 100 other things I want to do, and I'm not losing any energy. So I think Matchroom as a company is not the Barry Earn Show anymore, and I don't think it ever would have lasted into the next few generations. But as a private company, it's hugely successful, and it's secured the future for generations of Hearns, which is what I set out to do.
You probably won't thank me for saying this, but 52 years ago, yourself and myself were on the terraces here when Lake Norah were in the top flight.
Yeah, I know.
Is today the start of that dream happening again?
You know, it very rarely could be. It really, really could be. I mean, you can never say for sure in anything in life, don't you? People go under buses or situations change. This is the best chance we've ever had of recapturing, I wouldn't even say former glories, but I mean, who's to say what the next 3 or 4 years can hold? If this man gets the flavour to do something, which he clearly has at the moment, if he sustains that, we've just got the best owner that can come into football for this little football club.